Hi, my name is Ed from Four Day Hombre, and I always listen to Frogcast, the podcast, every single day, every waking moment.
And so should you.
You know it makes sense.
There's the Ed.
Hello, Dave.
The Ed. The Ed from the Four Day
Hombre. That's the Ed.
The Ed from the Four Day Hombre. This is the Dave and the Steve.
And this is the Frogcast. From the Running Frog Studios in Windsor.
Yes, indeed.
www.runningfrog.com. Check us out.
Check it.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's podcast number 40.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Life begins here.
It does. We've got a good show lined up for
haven't we? We've got a blinder. It's going to be great. We've got some really good music. We've got a fantastic celeb interview.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Catherine Williams coming on the show, Mercury Music Prize nominee and all-round fantastic person and interesting person to talk to. We're going to be talking to her a bit later on.
Yes.
And other than that, we've got the usual news and rubbish that we normally wrap around the real artists.
Bit of an acoustic slant this week as well.
Yes.
We thought we'd...
it's the acoustic special. So we've got some more music from some of our stalwart Running Frog artists and friends that we normally that we play. So it's going to be great.
Frogcast Unplugged.
Oh, yeah. Shall we kick off with some news, Dave?
Why not?
Excellent. Shall I give you my news choices?
Yeah, I've given up even thinking who goes first, to be honest.
It's me, Dave.
Yeah,
it's me.
On.
I go first. I've got two news stories here, Dave.
Good.
You can take your pick.
Okay.
You can have policeman arrests wife for drink driving.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I saw that. I haven't read the story, but I did see that headline. Yeah.
Or my personal recommendation: biker doesn't notice leg being torn off.
All right, go for that then.
This is news that a Japanese biker drove for over a mile without realizing that his leg had just been severed below the knee after he hit a safety barrier. Nice. Apparently, a friend was left to go and pick up the missing limb. Tasty.
You wouldn't want to hop back from that, would you?
No. Well, it was a mile away. The 54-year-old office worker was apparently out on his motorcycle with a group of friends just near to Tokyo when he was unable to negotiate a curve in the road and bumped into the central barrier.
Bumped.
Apparently he felt excruciating pain but didn't notice that his right leg was missing until he stopped at the next junction.
And fell off.
I would think until he stopped at the next junction and fell over.
Yeah, well...
Apparently the man and his leg were taken to hospital but the limb had been crushed in the collision, the paper said. So he went for a mile with a severed leg without noticing.
Well, I mean, if he was going quite quickly, that maybe wasn't that long.
That must have smarted a little bit. Now,
very tart.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, that stings. That stings a little. Now, listen, but bizarrely, though, I've done a little bit of research on this, and apparently this kind of thing...
I know,
this is good, isn't it? This kind of thing, right, apparently it happens all the time, right?
Listen to this. All the time?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, there's another.
Well,
and another.
Yeah.
Another one.
Not necessarily legs.
I'm absolutely legless.
Hey.
Come on, all the time.
Listen to this
often,
one. Listen to this.
Go on then.
Yeah, often. Listen to this.
Is this going to be the same story with a different person?
Pretty much.
Okay, go on.
Listen to this. A guy called Michael Lusher in the States was... This guy was sleeping in his mobile home when apparently an unknown...
His leg came off.
Nope.
Oh, right.
An unknown gunman fired five bullets into the trailer.
And took his leg off?
No, one of them struck it. One of them struck him in the head,
and he took his head off.
No,
he didn't notice.
No, apparently he became aware of the fact that he'd been shot in the head about 4 hours later when he woke up and spotted that there was a bit of blood coming out. Yeah, apparently it was because it slowed down as it went through the wall of the trailer and stuff. But also, right? Check this one out. This is the most bizarre one, right?
Check it.
A man is recovering. A man is recovering in hospital after he was stabbed 9 times. But didn't notice because he slept through the whole thing.
How drunk was he?
Well, listen to this, though. It's the 23-year-old from Minnesota was stabbed repeatedly early on Saturday morning, but was unable to identify his assailants because he was snoozing at the time. He apparently only realised that he'd been stabbed 9 times when his girlfriend noticed that he was covered in blood and pointed this out.
What? Was he, like, really... he must have been drunk or fat. I don't know.
It just says that apparently he was slightly anaesthetised at the time anyway. So I think he'd had a couple of shandies.
I mean, we had...
But bizarre, I mean, those kind of things, it's just, you know, how could you sleep through that?
I mean, we had Ed from Four Day Hombre saying how he had his face painted, but
could have been
it's
worse.
Not quite a stabbing, is it? It's not quite the same.
What's yours, Dave? Give us some news.
Mine is... first one is 50 Cent.
Uh-huh.
And my other one is Less Babies.
I'll go for Less Babies.
Okay, this is from China. favourite place of our news items there. Did they, you know, the Chinese have got this kind of law, well, not law, I don't think it is law, but they try to make people only have one child.
They strongly recommend.
Strongly recommend, shall we say. Anyway, they've decided to clean up their one child policy because some of the slogans were seen as being a bit negative.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to come up with some like nicer ones. So anyway, they got all their like slogans and said which ones of these don't quite work. And some of the examples of low quality slogans were raise fewer babies but more piggies. Which is
it's fair enough.
Fair point.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Fair point. This one was quite worrying. Houses toppled, cows confiscated if abortion demand rejected. That's worrying.
Don't quite understand that one.
Well, they're gonna knock your house down and pinch all your cows if you don't have an abortion.
Nice. But I don't want an abortion, Dave.
There goes your house.
No.
And then this one, this is right, really bad, this one. One more baby means one more tomb. Well, let's just skip to it.
Nice.
Yeah. So they,
nice.
Anyway, those are the bad ones. We've pushed those aside to get some more amiable terms.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to say things like, if you have too many children, might tie you out a bit.
Mm.
Or Mother Earth is too tired to sustain more children.
Oh,
which
that's
is
quite nice.
Well, yeah. That's
thinking of your mother.
Yeah. I don't think it's that one.
Oh.
Okay. But I think they're trying to make them less threatening, apparently.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the tomb one's a bit worrying.
That's a bit nasty, isn't it? I think the cows one, though, is almost surreal.
Cows confiscated. I'll have your cows.
And your house.
And your house.
Nasty.
But so they're trying. I don't think it's going to work anyway.
Yeah, not trying hard enough. I think
nope.
C+ could do better. Listen, let's have some music.
Yes.
Let's have some music from one of our Running Frog friends and artists.
Frogcast friend.
Oh yes, this one gets the Frogcast Gold Star seal of approval.
Indeed, it does. Put those stickers on.
Oh, yeah. This is actually a track that was recorded live for us here in the studio last year. This is Stephen Long, and the track is called I Love You, Etc. And this was part of a Frogcast session that he recorded from us. So, yeah, go for it.
Right here, just eating crisps and drinking beer. She wonders why we stay so long when the football is no longer on TV. It's just to be, it's how we are. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with the hot girl that works behind the bar. I barely noticed her, darling. Look, I barely noticed her, I swear I barely noticed her. Do I think she's pretty? Well, it's not for me to say. But now you mention it, she's attractive, but attractive in a more obvious way. Well, that's not to say that she is obviously more attractive than you. Because, of course, you're attractive too. Oh, come on, darling, now, look, please don't be like that. Will you ask me these stupid questions? I don't know how to react. I mean, I just don't know what I'm supposed to say. Yeah, fine, I'll see you later on today. Now I'll just stay here and eat these crisps and finish my beer. And maybe have several more, but later on, though I'm not sure I'm in the wrong, I still feel far from fine. The whole thing's playing on my mind a little. I can't sit back, I can't quite relax, can't quite enjoy my beer. I'm trying to chat with mates, but all I hear is her ringing in my ear. So do I take the high ground then, or do I take the low? Do I drink up and go round and say sorry, you know I love you, etc.? Make up my mind, I'm just not sure, can't quite decide. Oh, just one more then. If you're getting in the next round, it would be rude of me to leave now, so I'll stay. Yeah, fine, I'll just have one more drink, then I'll be on my way. You're right, I best give her some time to cool down anyway. I think this evening I'll stay here eat some crisps and drink some beer.
This. Frogcast the podcast.
Oh, Nuno.
Hello.
I hate that beginning.
Ooh, I am Steve.
I am Dave.
And together we are 40 vibrators.
Oh, Venus.
Oh, yeah.
Using her mouth. She was given beer at school. Had it.
Highly trained.
Doing an arm raid with a replica gun.
We got some stuff that people have mailed in.
Right. Wow.
Did you enjoy that, Dave?
You can mail us at frogcast@runningfrog.com, www.runningfrog.com, myspace.com/frogcast, or go to Podcast Alley and vote for us, and we'll give you a special prize if you do. Great stuff. That was the fabulous Catherine Williams. And we have very special news now. We actually have Catherine on the phone for a bit of an interview. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking time out to speak to Frogcast the podcast. Just for the listeners, just describe what you're doing at the moment. Where are you?
I'm sitting on a chair at home. I'm a little bit pissed. I forgot you were calling.
That's all right. That's okay. No problem. No worries. Now, listen, what we normally do at this point is, for anyone who doesn't know anything about Catherine Williams, I'm going to read a short intro so that any listeners that don't know you will get to know you. I've managed to use the fabulous internet to find this information, and I've gone for the fountain of all knowledge, which is obviously Wikipedia. Bypassing your official website, I've gone for Wikipedia. So,
I've never heard this. So,
haven't you?
Oh, there you go.
You can tell me if any of this is untrue. Okay,
or libelous.
Yeah, Wikipedia said it, not me. I'll just insert that now. So Catherine Williams is a singer-songwriter whose work is characterised by delicate vocals and acoustic instruments. Sound okay so far?
Yeah.
Okay. In her youth, Williams studied an Art Foundation course in her native Liverpool before moving to Newcastle-upon-Tyne to study for a degree in fine art. After a friend heard Williams' music, they booked a gig without her knowing it. Williams was intending it to be a one-off event, though she soon found herself being booked again and again. And that's quite an interesting story. Is that bit true?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Where was the gig?
It was in the Black Swan Art Centre in Newcastle, and I didn't sleep the whole night before, and
So did they just kind of like take you there without you knowing you were going to play, and just kind of say, bring your guitar? Got a special treat.
They told me the night before, but said, like, you know, I'd have to pay the fee for, like, not, you know, turning up. And I was almost all skint, so...
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so I did think that I had to do it, but, it wasn't the plan to do this as a living.
Well, according to Wikipedia, though, you then found yourself, well, it's obviously true, you then found yourself doing it again and again. And next step was recording music onto CD, which quickly started selling well at gigs. So you set up your own label, which is Core Records, which you're still releasing music on, aren't you?
Yeah.
And your Little Back Numbers LP, which is great, was nominated for the Mercury Music Prize. Should have won.
Should have won. I was told secretly by two judges that it was between me and Badly Drawn Boy.
Really?
But which didn't help at all.
That's worse, actually, isn't it? To know you just lost it. Yeah. And there's him throwing the check around and losing it.
Oh my God, I nearly picked it up because it was right by my foot. And really? I was 16 grand in debt at that time.
That would have just covered it off nicely.
Yeah.
Just very quickly as well, your album back catalogue is Dog Leap Stairs, Little Black Numbers, Old Low Light, Relations, Overflyover, and last year's Leave to Remain. You have a reputation, apparently, according to Wikipedia, as a warm, engaging, and powerful live performer, and we can verify that because we've seen you twice.
We have indeed.
Where have you seen me?
Well, we first saw you, one of your first big gigs. We came to the Nick Drake tribute concert at the Barbican.
Oh my God.
Nick, well, we were going to ask you about that because we have to say we hadn't heard of you before that, and we were kind of just sitting in the audience because we're both big fans of Nick Drake. And this lady came on looking very, very nervous. And then you started singing it and you just blew the crowd away. And we were like, oh my God, that was fantastic.
Did it? No, seriously,
we were so impressed and kind of just rushed out and bought the album and all that kind of stuff. Was that a real turning point for you, that gig?
Well, yeah, because my agent, I'd played to maybe 50 people in a bar before
really?
Then, and he got me on this bill.
That's a good
and
agent.
No one knew who I was, and I couldn't believe that, like, no one had chosen Saturday Sun for one of the songs, so I was really pleased with that. Because I had, like, you know, the scrapings at the bottom, like, when all the famous people had chosen their songs, and I was like, yay, I got Saturday Sun. And yet I was meant to turn around and tell the orchestra when to start playing, but I was so nervous, I was just facing forwards, because there were 3,000 people in front of me, and so the music, I was thinking, why hasn't the music started? Why hasn't the music started? And then they turned around and they were all like nodding for me to like tell them to start.
Well, it did. It made the gig really for us because, as Dave was saying, you know, you did look quite nervous, but then as soon as you started playing, we were absolutely blown away.
I'd also tried to run away backstage. I'd looked out and seen how many people were there, and I decided I wasn't going to do it. And I'd grabbed my coat and everything, and I'd packed
really?
My car. And then they caught me trying to get out the fire.
Well, we're glad you did.
So,
And we saw you at University of London as well.
Yeah, with Turin Breaks, I think you were. You played a gig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we saw you there as well, which is great as well.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. We like them too.
Yes.
We were just going to talk about your influences because we were looking at your MySpace kind of lists quite a few there, and Steve was very interested in some of them.
Yeah, I picked out a few because I'm just for the point of for our listeners, I'll just list off a few of Catherine's influences. Bob Dylan, obviously, Nick Cave, Neil Young, Nick Drake, Elliot Smith, Big Star, Will Oldham, Johnny Cash, Pavement. There's some good stuff in there. Some very good stuff. Very good stuff. I highly approve of Will Oldham.
Yeah, well, Brian Prince, Billy, I mean, you can't do better than him, really.
Absolutely. I love the fact that he's kind of had about 4 million name changes as well in his career.
But yeah.
All of the original, like the Palace Brothers and Palace Music stuff, is really, really good. So some really good stuff in there. And Neil Young, obviously, is great. All fantastic stuff. Now, listen, I was going to ask you, that leads nicely on to, I was going to ask you about the Relations album, because that was quite an interesting sort of concept, because it was, for people that don't know, this was an album of covers. And that's something that you don't tend to get these days. You know, you might get sort of an album with one cover on it, sort of tagged at the end, but an album of covers is, you know, is quite an interesting concept, and there's some really good stuff on there. How the heck did you, like, out of all of the tracks in the world, how did you kind of pare that down to 14 tracks? That must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I first decided I was going to do a covers album, like, I wanted to fall back in love with music and the music industry and, well, just like my job, really, because I'd had really bad time on the road, and then I decided that I'd make this album so that I could sit around and say it was work, but actually just have records on all the time. And I thought that when you make a covers record, what you do is, like, you know, choose Bob Dylan and choose all these things, and like, so people go, wow, she's got a great record collection. But it doesn't work that way. And the more I sort of got into the songs and working out how they were made, I wanted to sort of experiment with different ways of how people have written, and some songs just sort of fit you, and you can pull. I like sort of pulling some songs apart, like a sort of watch, and then working out the parts and putting them back together. So yeah, it surprised me, the songs, that because it's quite eclectic. I mean, you don't often get an album with, like, Nirvana, Pavement, and the Bee Gees.
No.
yeah, that's a great cover as well. The I Started a Joke is a great cover version on there.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you've got a bit of Lou Reed on there as well, a bit of Neil Young, but Ivor Cutler as well.
Oh, he's my hero. He's brilliant.
I have to say, my girlfriend heartily approved of that. She likes Ivor Cutler as well, so she was most impressed with that being on there. The other thing I was going to say as well was I really like the sort of inclusion of Hallelujah being a sort of a live track.
Yeah, well, that's where it came from, really, like the whole album, because the Jackson Browne song, which is, I didn't know it, Jackson Browne, but I knew it off the Nico Chelsea Girl album, and that and Hallelujah were recorded. I did a gig in London in Regent's Park in this big amphitheatre outside, and it was the hottest day of the year, and it was just like this, just like a really magical gig, and it was just starting to get dark and cool down, and like a load of swans flew over, and,
nice.
And we were singing Hallelujah, and I just felt like I really wanted to have that as a, you know, as something to remember.
Yeah, oh, it's a great version. I mean, it's one of those, it was one of those for me when I listened to it, it was when I got to the end of the track and, you know, kind of heard, you know, the audience and thought, my God, was that live? You know,
it's a good performance.
It's a very, very, you know, it's a very good performance.
I have to say as well, it was for the first 3 months after I bought that album, my sons made me play that track constantly because they absolutely love it. Every time we went in the car.
Is that to do with Shrek by any chance?
I think there is possibly, but it was always your version they were playing. Always. When you got in the car, can we have Hallelujah on? All right.
You're better than Shrek, according to Dave's sons.
Now that, from a 6 and a 3-year-old, that's high praise.
Oh, I'm going to put that as a sticker on my next record.
Better than Shrek. There you go, there's a quote for you. We'll be looking out for that. Listen, I was going to ask you as well, were there any other, you know, did you have any tracks that didn't quite make the cut, or were there any that didn't quite manage to sneak on? You know, who else would you really like to cover?
Well, I nearly did Whole Lotta Love.
That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, it would have been. But there was like I was doing like a sort of old blues version of that, and then I couldn't sing the lyrics without pissing myself off. Like, you know, I absolutely love Led Zeppelin, but if you slow it down to sort of blues with a female voice, I mean, you can't even sing in Schooling. And just things like push, push doesn't work in a melancholy kind of way.
I think unless you are Led Zeppelin, it's probably quite difficult to do a Led Zeppelin track. They're definitely one of those. I was going to say, I'd like to see you doing a Tom Waits cover. I think that would be good. I like Tom Waits.
Well, the next album that is coming out next year has got a Tom Waits
cover. Look at that. I didn't even research or prepare that.
You couldn't because no one knows about it.
Can we exclusively reveal first what the cover is? Which track it is?
Yeah, can I have some money?
maybe.
No. But I'm not going to tell you what track it is.
Denied.
Well, I'll be looking forward to that then.
Yes,
that's going to be great.
It isn't like a sort of well-known one.
Good.
We'll look forward to that.
Okay, I'd like it to be something from kind of Swordfish Trombones era, kind of something a bit difficult to cover. You're not going to say anything, are you?
Okay. It's not being drawn on that one
fair
at
enough,
all.
Fair enough.
Okay, so if we can't get you to talk about that, just talk about Leave to Remain, which is your last album from last year. Originally, I was reading that you intended that to be quite stripped down, kind of, you know, just voices and instruments, but then you got Kaint St. John in from Dream Academy to orchestrate it a bit. Did you, because I think you met her at the, was it the Nick Drake gig?
Yeah,
so she's been around for quite a long time.
Yeah, we became friends after that.
Yeah. So also about that album, you do a song called Stevie, which is about Stevie Smith, the poet. And I was going to ask you about your kind of poetry that you do, because I was reading that you've got this this project, the Words from the Garden Project.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
I was an artist in residence in Annick Gardens up north here, which is like this sort of beautiful sort of gardens with amazing sort of fountains and all sorts. And I did a sort of residency with another poet and songwriter called Neville Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a soundscape of like 12 poems to music.
Mm.
It sounds a bit poncy, but it was actually really nice.
No, because I was listening to some of it, because I think there was a link to hear about it. No, it's really nice, actually. I think it works well, because you did the music, didn't you, as well, underneath? Is that right?
Yeah, me and Nev did the music, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. So I was going to ask you, do you see yourself as a lyricist first, or a musician, or both, or
are you? God, neither. I just go into my little den and just like play around and mess around, and then these things happen, and I can't believe they didn't exist before the day. So yeah, I don't. You know, it's just like a sort of job stroke hobby that I've fallen into, and you know.
that's a really nice way of putting it.
Yes, I wish I could fall into a job like that, to be honest. But this, with this poetry influence, what we've done actually is one of our production assistants, Lois, has written you a haiku.
Lois likes haikus.
I love haikus.
All right, well we've got one about you. We've got one for you, so I'm going to read that for you.
Steve's just going to read that for you.
Okay, ready? Catherine Williams, acoustic guitar poet, effervescent sound.
There we go. Well done, Lois.
Thank you, Lois. That was
all for you. Was that okay?
Yeah, well, it is nice. I mean, generally, haikus, you have to sort of relate them to nature, but I suppose effervescence is
there you go. You know more than we do. We were going to also ask you about sort of exciting news that you've announced recently. You're going to do some dates in America. Very, very shortly, I think. Yeah, it's a couple of weeks ago. I think you were playing in New York on the 4th.
Yeah.
Is that something you wanted to do for quite a while, to get to the States, sort of break America, as it were?
Well, I don't think I'm playing like New York and LA, and I'm doing like a load of promo and interviews and all sorts over there. And I don't think like it constitutes breaking America.
Oh, so yes, it does. Oh, it does.
New York and LA. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we're stopping off in Boston for 2 hours.
There you go. You've seen three places in America. That's really impressive. It's
well, I'm not a very good traveller. In fact, I'm not very brave in general, and I had stage fright for like 7 years, so it's something that I sort of avoided really. And like when I was on the majors, I went over there and I told them that I wouldn't really tour, and they didn't want to do stuff with me because they thought I was a nutter for being a musician who didn't want to tour. But yeah, now things, I'm just going to give it a go.
Yeah, why not go for it?
I don't really like travelling like long distances. So if it is good over there, I might just decamp there for like a few months and do stuff and then come back again.
Well, for anyone that's listening over in the States, 4th of September at the Living Room in New York, or 6th of September at the Hotel Cafe in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I am trying to play it down because I'm quite nervous and excited.
Sorry. Sorry, yeah, nobody go.
No, I don't mean like, don't go. I mean like, I'm saying, yeah, whatever. And actually, I'm really excited.
Oh, good.
Good. No, you should be. It'll be good.
Definitely.
And listen, anyone in the UK that can't get over to LA or New York can catch Catherine, because you are playing as well a selection of dates around the UK, aren't you, over the next couple of months?
Yes,
you are indeed. So we'll put the listings on our website, and they're also available on Catherine's MySpace and website. But starts up north in Cheltenham on the 24th of August, which is coming up very soon. Then you're off to the States, and then back to London, bit of Gateshead, London again, and we're going to come see you. In Basingstoke. That's kind of nice and local to us. So
we're going to pop over and see.
Yeah, so we'll come and say hello.
Brilliant.
We will. You can put names to the faces.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to ask you about the new album that you're doing at the moment. I think are you recording at the moment?
No, I finished recording.
Oh, you finished recording? All right.
Yeah. It's with a bloke called Neil McCall, who his sister's Kirsty McCall, and his mum and dad, like his dad wrote The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. And
really?
Ewan McCall. And so, like, he's very musical background, and we met when I sang his dad's song at a show at the Barbican called Daughters of Albion, which is
I saw that
part
on
of folk pretend.
Yeah, no, I watched that on. It was on the TV. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, about 2 weeks before I dropped a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you were huge, weren't you? Yeah. Very, very pregnant. I remember that.
Yeah, waddling across the stage.
Yeah, that was good though. Another thing that I read on, I'm not sure if this was like some kind of Mickey take or something, but what's this thing about the Ish Inventors?
Oh yeah, I've got a band called the Ish Inventors.
Yeah, what's going on with that? What's that?
Well, we have a manifesto that we're trying to patent our inventions through the medium of song. And so we've done an album of, well, we've been trying to do an album of inventions, but nearly all the songs we've written so far are about how difficult it is to invent anything new.
That's a great concept.
Where can we hear the Ish Inventors?
Well, nowhere at the moment. We're just finishing that record, but then we'll probably do a very small pressing because I can't actually imagine people wanting to listen to the record.
Well, it sounds
we're
intriguing.
Interested.
Yeah. Are you going to be acousticing on there, or are you going to do a Dylan and go electric at some point?
Well, some of it's all a bit. Some of it's gone a bit sort of mental on that. Some of it's sort of quite sampley, and then other bits are like an un-par-par band.
Well, you've got to release this. You've got to put this out. Like,
never mind your new album. We want the Ish Inventors.
You want the Ish Inventors. Oh, well, maybe I'll send you a track.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Please do. And we will definitely play that out. Fantastic.
I'm loving the sound of that. We're getting towards the end of it. I was just going to ask you, I'm a parent, as you heard, got a couple of sons. How do you think that's changed you in any way in terms of your music or your writing? Because I was reading on your blog that you're a bit of an expert at playing Bob the Builder now.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, as a parent, it's sort of like a two-way thing. In some ways, you realise that all parents are just people and you're the same person in some respects, but then it does change you as well. And I suppose, for me, like, with my stage fright and my anxieties and paranoias and all of these things that have sort of been really hard things to overcome with my music, like, that sort of, it's a lot less than it used to be. And I think, like, once you've pushed a human head from between your legs, nothing can be as bad.
Well, that answers that question.
Yeah.
I was just going to talk about how Postman Pat was quite nice to play, but I think we'll leave it at that sentence there. Well, we've just got one burning
one final question. You specifically asked us not to ask this question, and that's that's red rag to a bull, unfortunately. So, Catherine Williams, what is your favourite colour?
My favourite colour? A pale shade of fuck off.
What a great answer.
Thank you very much.
That's probably a great point to end the interview.
On that bombshell, I think we'll end the interview there.
And we'll have another chat. Thanks very much for your time, Catherine.
Bye.
That's great.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Fantastic. That was Catherine Williams.
Great.
Fantastic.
What a lovely lady.
Absolutely.
So check her out. She's on tour, as we said, quite a few dates. So if you can get to see her, she is brilliant live.
Yep. Very, absolutely. Yeah, highly recommended.
Fantastic voice.
Oh, yes. Let's do, let's do a thing.
A bit radio.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a thing, Dave.
Yeah.
What? Let's do, hey, we're going to do WWW, which stands for, David.
Wonderful. Hey, website of the week. It's my word.
Hey.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
This is a little thing where we recommend.
Wonderful. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is where we recommend interesting websites.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Interesting websites for you to look at. Dave, recommend me a website.
Yeah, okay. I'm going for one that will probably, I think you'll appreciate quite a lot. This is www.1980-games.com/US.
Sounds geeky.
Yes, I think you've probably already seen this before. At some point, it is for all you geeky gamers, you geeks in general. You can go back and play all those lovely games from the 80s, things like Frogger and Pac-Man and all that kind of stuff.
Classics.
And obviously, they can put just hundreds on there because it requires about 1 kilobyte of memory now, whereas we used to have to like load it for 10 hours from a tape before, and then it would fail because your sister had recorded some like Duran Duran on the end or something like that. But anyway, you can go on there, you can play all the classics, all of them. Absolutely all of them.
It's a great site. I have seen that site, and it is very, very highly recommended.
Yep.
You can waste hours and hours playing Space Invaders and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong.
You can waste your life away.
All the classics.
They've just got a real charm to it, even though it's not the kind of graphics that we have now. It's just, there's a real kind of addictive...
Dave, they're timeless.
They are.
They are timeless.
They don't make them like they used to.
Exactly.
When we were lads.
We're old geeks now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Listen, I've got a very...
No, that's really bad.
It is.
Oh, because like... That was cutting edge, and now we're old, and we go,
yeah.
Oh, you don't make games like they used to now. Oh, no.
During the war.
The Falklands. We used to play a my Atari.
Listen, I've got...
What's an Atari, Granddad?
Anyone that doesn't know what one of those is...
Shut up.
Yeah. We need some kind of China-type slogan
to
describe them.
Xbox is confiscated. PlayStation's toppled.
Cows
shot. If Atari not recognised. Right.
Lovely.
And if you didn't hear the last show, you won't know what the hell we're talking about.
Check it out. Yeah, why wouldn't you have listened to the last show?
I don't know.
It's great.
I did it at the beginning. When did I do that? Oh, I don't know. Just tell me what your site
Dave,
is.
Dave, my site is brilliant.
A surprise.
This is, it actually is a bit of a geeky site.
Really?
But there's a musical slant to it.
That's so unlike you.
There's a musical slant to it, Dave.
Really?
I've managed to shoehorn in...
Geek.
I've managed to shoehorn in one of the key themes of the show, which is music, into
Well done,
this.
You.
This is actually a band.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Press Play on Tape.
Oh, I think I've heard of these. Yeah.
Check these guys out. If you go to www.pressplayontape.com, right... I'll just read you a little bit about them. Press Play on Tape is a Commodore 64 revival band.
Oh, no, I have seen this. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
They are exclusively playing tunes from the 80s home computer Commodore 64 as rock on real instruments.
You can't beat that.
That's fantastic. So essentially, it's the music from Commodore 64 games being played by 6 guys from Copenhagen. There's Jesper
Genius.
And Martin on guitars, Andre and Theo on keyboards, Soren on drums, and Oof.
It's probably
Offer.
It's the offer one. It's the offer guy.
It's the offer one. He's on bass. But fantastic. Check that out. I highly recommend it. And they've got loads of stuff.
Good tunes. Oh, I might have to go to that. What's the address of that again?
It's www.pressplayontape.com.
Oh, I'm going to do that when I get back.
It's quality. Highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. What are we doing now, anyway?
Let's have some more music. Let's have some more Running Frog music.
Some more acoustic.
Yes.
And more acoustics thing. So we've got another friend of the show. It is Sophie Henderson.
Hi there, my name's Sophie Henderson. My hobbies include playing the guitar and singing. If you'd like to meet up, well, you can pretty much forget it, as all my free time is spent listening to Steve and Dave on Frogcast the Podcast. Oh yeah.
Here we go again. You say that you're tired. I've been working 9 through 9. Try to say it's a phase, that we will be okay in a few days. But sometimes it seems a waste. But if it's me who picks up the pieces, they'll never bleed, fall at your feet. We chop and change, we rearrange nothing. When it comes down, comes down to me. So here we go again, I've heard it before. You'll be knocking at my door. Think I'm blind, but I know the score. But if it's me who picks up the pieces, they'll never bleed, fall at your feet. We chop and change, rearrange nothing. When it comes down, comes down to me. And maybe in time you will see that it's only ever gonna be me. Up the pieces, they'll never bleed, fall at your feet. We chop and change, but rearrange nothing. When it comes down, comes down to me. Yeah. So here we go again. Here we go.
There we go.
Lovely. Sophie Henderson.
Lovely Sophie.
The wonderful Sophie Henderson.
You started saying it now. Anyway.
That was nice and acoustic. It's the acoustic special.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it's like a warm bath.
Let's finish with, we're close to the end of the show. Let's finish with some more news.
Yes.
We'll have the news that we rejected earlier on.
Indeed. I've got a couple, actually.
Have you? Cheeky git. Well, I'll slip mine in and then you can finish off with yours. My other news story was policeman arrests wife for drink driving.
Yes. Too right. Good policy.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, this probably make things a little bit tense for him at home. But this is news that
do you think?
Yeah. An off-duty sheriff's deputy was pulled over and charged with driving under the influence by her husband. Charlotte Moore, 36, a jail deputy.
That's bad.
Oh, yeah. She was driving her 2004 Pontiac Grand Am when she was pulled over by her husband, the sheriff's deputy, Mike Moore. She apparently, though, drove off before being administered a portable breathalyzer test. I was just saying, I'm yours, I'm not doing that. So she drove off, but he wasn't having that. He wasn't going to let it go. So apparently he pulled her over again. And then called for backup. And then he buggered off. He left after the other officer arrived.
Wow. Yeah, there probably is a little bit of tension in the household,
yes,
isn't there?
Just a little bit.
Possibly. Yes.
That's taking your work home with you really to a new level, isn't it?
She shouldn't have been drinking, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
You've got to say it.
Bang to rights.
Said it again and again and again. Yes. Don't drink and drive, children.
Exactly. What's your other news, David?
I need to talk about Mr. 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
50 Cent. Now, this story, it's really got me excited. I'm really, really quite...
aroused.
Yes. Yeah? Right. 50 Cent is releasing an album on September the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also releasing an album on that day is Kanye West, or however you say...
Kanye.
Kanye West.
Kanye. That's kind of like... But it sounds like... he's from Newcastle.
Kanye West. That was really bad in Newcastle.
Sorry,
accent.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Kanye.
We just apologise to anybody listening in Newcastle.
Yes.
Like Catherine Williams.
Sorry. Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Anyway, so 50 Cent, Fiddy, went onto hip-hop website SOHH.com, whatever that stands for, and he said, okay, he said, let's raise the stakes, and he has promised that if Kanye West sells more albums than he does...
I can't look at this. I can never, ever
Kanye West.
Hear him in the same light ever again now after
No, but listen. He says, if he sells more records on September the 11th, first day, 50 Cent has promised he will no longer write music. He's not going to release another solo album. So I'm going to start a campaign now. We need to buy Kanye West's albums.
Kanye.
Like it's going out of fashion
it's
on
not,
September. Kanye West is now.
Kanye. Yeah.
Kanye West.
Kanye.
If ever, I mean,
Kanye West.
I'm really thinking about buying Kanye West's album. Kanye West. Have you got that new Kanye West album?
Showing your age. Three words that spring to mind. Yeah, Kanye West.
No, if that's an invitation. I think that's 50 Cent is working for Kanye West.
Kanye, yeah.
I think.
Kanye.
Because I'm going to go out and buy that Kanye West album, I tell you. Because I would love to sort 50 pence doing his albums. Seriously, he's promised. He's going to do it.
Well, let's do it. We'll start a campaign and we'll make it happen, Dave.
I'm going to do it.
The power of Frogcast, the podcast, will make this happen.
I might buy a few. Mm. Anyway, my other story was another American artiste. This is the rock star Marilyn Manson.
Ooh.
Always interesting.
Always interesting.
He's being sued by a former band member who says he owes him £20 million in shared profits. Stephen Bayer, who played keyboards under the stage name Madonna Wayne Gacy... Good name. They've all got names, haven't they?
Yes.
First name, kind of starlet.
First name, pop star. Second name.
Murderer, yeah.
Murderer.
Yep. He claims he was not paid properly over a period of the last two decades. He says Manson instead spent the band's profits on a house, drug treatment and collecting Nazi paraphernalia. Manson, whose real name is Brian Hugh Warner, told MTV the accusations were really ridiculous. Legal papers filed in Los Angeles. Bayer claims Manson falsely told him the band was not making much and then went on a two-year spending spree. From 2004 to 2006, he claims, the gothic rocker used band money to buy a massive house, £2 million house, collected Nazi memorabilia, including coat hangers used by Adolf Hitler. That's the first thing I'd get. Manson also bought African masks made of human skin, the full skeleton of a four-year-old Chinese girl, and a full skeleton of a 17th century male in a wheelchair. This is all in the legal papers. Now, this is the funniest bit of this story. Manson then comes out and says, the fact that he's claiming I've treated him unfairly financially is ridiculous, and I would never spend my money on a Chinese girl's skeleton. That would be crossing the line. It's a Chinese boy.
He's carefully planned.
Yes, exactly. I think that's probably just some kind of publicity stunt, personally.
Yes.
But who am I to say?
Exactly. Who are we to judge Marilyn?
Fine words. Mm. And on that bombshell.
Let's have our last and final track for the evening.
Indeed, another Frogcast artiste. The wonderful, wonderful Reuben James. And we should tell you that Reuben's got a very big gig coming up. And we were going to tell you, but we've forgotten the date. But we think it's the 4th of September. Pretty sure it is. It's in London. And what we'll do, we'll put some details on our site. You can also, if you go to his MySpace, if you go to ours, he's one of our friends, or you can find him yourself. He's got details on his site. It's in his gig list. And we're going to play one of his records for you now. So that was the Frogcast. Number 40.
I was Steve.
I was Dave.
That was Catherine Williams.
Thanks to Kath.
Some other people. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week for more of the same. More music and guests and interviews and all that good stuff.
We're over 40 now.
We are, yeah.
Over the hill.
Getting a bit of a paunch on us.
There's a little...
bit of spread.
Little bit of a balcony above the jeweller's shop, so to speak. Anyway, bye!
Bye-bye. See you next week. Bye. Love ya.
Scared all the tears and
left me holding out my hands. They say the time is a cure, but I ain't so sure. I said, don't stop pretending now.
Steve's a clown and Dave's a fool. I can't believe you're listening to Frogcast the podcast.